Politico Brussels Playbook, presented by Banco Santander. Merkel gets blunt, G7 gifts, old order at NATO. By Florian Eder. With Zoya Sheftalovich. Presented by Banco Santander. Send tips here, tweet at Floriander, listen to today's playbook and view in your browser. Art of the deal, it may not be a commemorative coin, but this latte art to celebrate the Korean détente is really something. Blunt Merkel, German Chancellor Angela Merkel delivered what came close to a government program for the next European electoral term when she briefed MEPs from her own party family, the EPP, at their meeting in Munich on Wednesday, on her priorities to reform the European Union. It was a concise and, perhaps given the audience of fellow Christian Democrats, plus reporters on the ground, blunt version of Merkel's thinking about what to do about and in the EU. The EU's future at stake, if we fail to provide a common answer to questions of illegal migration. The foundations of the European Union will be called into question, she told delegates, and that's the most concern you've ever heard from Merkel. Action is really needed here, she added. Or the freedom of movement, and with it the internal market, is in peril. She admitted defeat on the plan to mandatorily relocate refugees, calling instead for more flexible ways of showing solidarity among EU countries. That Bulgarian presidency compromise now seems dead, once and for all. That said, it might disappoint some in the right-wing camp of the EPP that she shares the view that the migration issue wins and loses elections, but refuses to entertain the simplest of experimental treatments. Anyone who believes that a European border police force alone can seal off maritime borders will not do justice to the issue, she said, calling for a fight against the root causes of migration, and not only in the traditional way. Security, development and defense policies need to be linked to each other, she said. In other words, let's not just ship money for economic development to Africa, but help them fight terrorism. A message from Banco Santander. In Europe, we are richer, healthier, more educated and more equal because of technological disruption. We should never start from the assumption that technological change is a bad thing. Europe's challenge in an age of digital disruption is to understand the new social needs and expectations and take action. Read what can Silicon Valley learn from the banking industry, before it's too late? By Executive Chair Anna Bodden. Good morning. Today I'm writing from Munich, where I heard Merkel fulfill Ivan Krastev's prophecy. Krastev, a Bulgarian thinker and author of the book After Europe, described a trend of de-radicalization of the extreme right, mirroring the transformation of the left decades ago. As mainstream parties integrate radical ideas and some of the legitimate concerns of people into their own rhetoric and politics. The Merkel Plan. A true EU foreign policy, beyond migration. Merkel went into more detail about her proposal, first floated in last Sunday's Fez interview, that the non-permanent European seats in the UN Security Council ought to be Europeanized. In a very concrete sense, she said in Munich, Europeans should set up a group of about 10 members to be able to swiftly give instructions for the daily work at the Security Council. I know that that's a bit out of the usual, but we should think about it. In a nod to France, Merkel called for real cooperation with the EU's soon-to-be-only veto power, and called on France to share some of its sovereignty too. Do a day, I've been struggling, she said, about whether to push for the next EU budget to be agreed on by the European election next year. The outcome of that struggle, it's a yes. I will use all my strength in the European Council to grab the bull by the horns. Her lever. No multi-annual financial framework, no money for the Eurozone. I cannot imagine that we can talk about a Eurozone budget without having an EU budget. Define dominant market position. Merkel called for a substantive increase in R&D spending and an overhaul of the EU's competition rules, the latter of which she wants to modernize. We need global champions. But our European competition law does not help us sufficiently to build them. Another nod to France, a welcome one, this time. Merkel cold shower, I'm cool with it, okay, Merkel said about the Spitzenkandidaten process. To laughter in the audience, whether to welcome the comic relief or express surprise about someone being honest here, we won't know. She then told that eminent group of MEPs why the institutional sentiment does not yet fit together. With a smaller European Commission where not every country is represented, which is foreseen in principle in the treaty, and the Spitzenkandidat system potentially being incompatible. In summary, the Spitzen process will be repeated, but she won't spend much political capital on pushing any parties, including the EPP's, top man or woman into the Commission presidency. Opinion: time for Berlin to loosen the purse strings. Germany's refusal to bail out Greece is unsustainable, argues Jeremy Ghez, an affiliate professor of economic and international affairs at HEC Paris, in an op-ed. G7 gift. Going big, the EU is bringing a lovely gift to the summit of G7 leaders in Canada starting Friday. Fully-fledged retaliation against U.S. President Donald Trump's tariffs on steel and aluminum. The union is hitting as hard as possible, targeting the maximum amount of U.S. exports allowed under World Trade Organization rules, worth some 2.8 billion euros a year. The list: the Commission has prepared a list of American products, from playing cards, peanut butter and jeans to yachts, that will be hit by additional tariffs of between 10 and 50%. The process, to be concluded before the end of June, so that the new duties start applying in July, was set in motion at the Commissioners' weekly meeting. "We have the full support from member states," Commission Vice President Jyrki Katainen said. "It's difficult to say what President Trump will do next, but this is our response," Katainen added, in essence admitting that after this maximum response, the EU may be left without many options. It doesn't look like a harmonious meeting in Quebec. Before her speech in Munich on Wednesday, Merkel had told the Bundestag that she expects difficult discussions this weekend, over everything from climate and trade policies to international security. She'd rather have no joint G7 declaration than a compromise for the sake of a compromise, she said in Parliament. "It makes no sense to brush over differences at will." Tusk calls on West to stay united, ahead of the G7 summit. European Council President Donald Tusk addresses the Trump-shaped elephant in the room in an op-ed for the New York Times. Pointing to Trump's decisions to pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement and the Iran nuclear deal in his trade war, Tusk writes, "These decisions are unfortunate and worrying. Are they merely seasonal turbulences or rather the first symptoms of the breakup of the Western political community, which the G7 represents and informally leads? Please, 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 that strong, unified, assertive Europe, which seeks to be the cornerstone of rules-based multilateralism in this multipolar world, begged Trump to exempt its industries from sanctions the U.S. will impose on Iran after pulling out of the nuclear agreement." Here's the letter co-signed by French Finance Minister Bruno Le Maire and colleagues from the EU's other powerhouses, the UK and Germany. Side note: the plan was for the European Investment Bank to step in on the EU's behalf to mitigate the impact of the US decision on Iran and do business in the country. That won't fly, the IB has now indicated. The bank fears it could be hit hard by possible US sanctions, as parts of its business are denominated in dollars. A spokesman for the bank told Reuters that a prerequisite for its business model is that the bank should remain a solid and credible institution on the international capital markets, and this would be incompatible with ignoring possible sanctions against Iran. Drive the conversation on prevention in healthcare and network with the sector trailblazers at Politico and LATEMP's third annual healthcare summit, taking place in Geneva on October 8 to 9. Become a partner and showcase your tough leadership in making preventive and proactive care a reality to over 130 top industries minds, policymakers, scientists and patient representatives. Speakers include European Medicines Agency, EMA, Executive Director Professor Guido Rossi, Estonian Health and Labour Minister Riina Sikkut, National Health Service, NHS, Digital Academy CEO Rachel Dunscombe and Access to Medicine Foundation Executive Director Jayasri Kayar. Get in touch and join us in Geneva. Old order at NATO. Nothing to see here. NATO defense ministers meet in Brussels today for the first time in the alliance's new headquarters. They will make decisions about two new commands that will boost NATO's command personnel by more than 1,200. The first increase after 20 years of reductions. And guess where they'll be built? A naval command in Norfolk, Virginia in the U.S. And a new logistics command in Ulm, a mid-sized, by German standards, city that's worth exploring for a weekend. On the very European River Danube. Also on the agenda, as previewed by Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg on Wednesday, burden sharing, and increasing readiness, or, in NATO-ish, ensuring the 430s are ready by 2020. That means 30 mechanized battalions, 30 air squadrons, and 30 combat vessels ready within 30 days or less. Newcomers expected, Ministers Elisabetta Trenta from Italy and Constantino Mendez from Spain. EU Corner. EU Asylum Chief resigns, José Carrera, the executive director of the EU's asylum agency, stepped down Wednesday amid allegations first reported by Politico of staff harassment, including psychological violence and an investigation by the EU's anti-fraud office. Jacopo Brigazzi has the full details. Lost in translation, next week's European Parliament's Strasbourg plenary could be disrupted by strikes by interpreters protesting what they describe as a unilateral decision to change their working hours, Maya de la Baume reports. Commemorating, Europhiles will celebrate Alexander Kojève. The Russian-born philosopher turned Eurocrat, considered him one of the greatest thinkers of the last century. With 2 days of conferences in the European Parliament, kicking off today. Our own Jacopo Brigazzi, who profiled Kojève last year, writes in to tell us the conferences will be attended by folks including French European Commissioner Pierre Moscovici and the former World Trade Organization chief Pascal Lamy. In other news, Trump's Berlin whipping boy, the German political establishment is horrified at almost everything U.S. Ambassador Richard Grenell says. But, as our own Matthew Karnischenig points out, why anyone would expect Trump's hand-picked envoy to Germany to be anything less than frank, isn't clear. Spain's new cabinet, Pedro Sánchez's new government, is firmly on the center-left, has a record number of women and contains familiar faces for those in Brussels, reports Diego Torres. EU's polish test, in his latest Europe at Large column, Paul Taylor argues that the EU's showdown with Warsaw is about more than the rule of law, it's about the bloc's very identity. Putinite on, Russian President Vladimir Putin's annual live TV phone-in is on today at 9 a.m. GMT, 11 a.m. Brussels time. Greeks protest over Macedonian name dispute. Dacre to go, Paul Dacre will step down later this year after 26 years at the helm of the Daily Mail, possibly Britain's most influential newspaper. Jack Blanchard has the runners and riders to succeed him in today's London playbook. Google Android probe, the European Commission may announce its blockbuster antitrust decision against Google's Android mobile operating system as soon as next month. Several people with knowledge of the matter told our own Mark Scott. Over and out. Birthdays, MEPs Ivo Belet and Anna Zaborska. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence turns 59. Shells Nor Yafi, Kieran Watkins from CREOP, Alison Finch of Solar Power Europe, former Austrian Chancellor Wolfgang Schussel. A message from Banco Santander, James Harding from Tortoise led a discussion in Brussels yesterday with Santander's Anna Bodden, the European Commission's Roberto Viola, Starling Bank's Anne Bodden and Better Finance's Guillaume Prick on the future of finance in Europe. Is digital disruption good for customers? Fintechs and other disruptive businesses drive the more established players to work harder for consumers. But on that basis, it is important that the same activity is regulated in the same way, and that we are able to compete with the US and China. Watch comments from Guillaume Prick here. Subscribe to the Politico newsletter family. Brussels Playbook, London Playbook, Sunday Crunch, Brussels Influence, DC Playbook, all our Politico Pro Policy Morning Newsletters.